Welcome back to Clarity Quote to Cash podcast. I'm Alex Shrebny, your host for today. And our guest today is Stephen Clements, Sales Operation Manager at Busfor. Today, we will talk about process automation and its impact on various departments within the organization and on companies' customers. Steve, glad to have you with us today. It's been a long time. I will let you introduce yourself before we start this conversation.
Thanks very much, Alex. Yeah, pleased to be here. And so I'm Steve Clements, Sales Operations Manager, as Alex has just said. I've been at Busfor now for 11 years. Started out at Busfor supporting our global delivery consultants and then moving on to our product management team before joining sales ops around 5 to 6 years ago. And now I'm supporting our global sales teams across the globe in the kind of quote to order process and basically looking at the whole quoting and contracting process and supporting those teams mm-hmm. with their needs.
So given mine and Steve's experience in sales, we would naturally talk more about sales automation in process automation industry. But sales automation specifically, not in a sense of a tool per se, but more about philosophy and fundamentals behind it. It's really a process, an approach that you take within your business to be hyper-efficient and as productive as possible, of course, with the help of technology. And since people within the organization are either focused on revenue side, so influence the revenue side, or optimize the cost side, sales process automation has a drastic effect not only on sales department, but also on other departments like sales operations, IT, marketing, finance, product department, and others. So Steve, given your experience in various parts of the process, both in IT and product and sales, why in your opinion sales automation tools are important, and what are the benefits from the perspective of various departments?
Yeah, sales automation tools obviously help enable us to grow our business, support our kind of prospects and customers in basically, you know, using these tools helps us record our interactions with our prospects and customers, and allows us to basically get reporting and insights into what's going on, enables our sales teams to be efficient in their daily tasks, understanding when they need to engage with our customers at the right time. But also from not just from the sales perspective, these sales automation tools are very important from other areas as well. So if we look at our products organization, we have our kind of products and service offering, which is clearly defined, and you know the sales tools there help them define their products and service offering and enable us to ensure that we're offering these products and services to our customers in a controlled and standard way to our customers, and that we're also able to manage the exceptions here through kind of approval processes and that kind of thing as well. So it all really starts from the products part and having a clear product offering, which is defined within those tools. Sales are then consuming that information, building quotes and contracts to our customers. And then further downstream in the quote to cash teams where we're actually billing those customers, they are actually then consuming that data that's coming from our product offering and from our quoting and contracting. So, you know, enabling those teams to set up the billing effectively for our customers. And also, you know, when we move on past the billing setup, you know, passing those sales cases to our delivery teams, that they have clear data that they can trust and rely upon further downstream as well. So it's very important from a products perspective at the beginning, sales using those tools to effectively manage their time, and then the quote to cash teams and billing teams that will be using mm-hmm. that information.
Also including the finance department to have it sold profitably and to bill it according to the all the contract detail which was
specified. Yeah. That's a good point as well. I mean, yeah, the finance team are going to be using the kind of revenue information which is coming from these sales automation tools as well. We have a responsibility to report those revenue figures as well. So those sales automation tools help us automate mm-hmm. that process as
so
well.
It's pretty much totally agree with you, Steve. It's pretty much to be able to do more with less resources, having less manual repetitive
exactly,
tasks.
Yeah.
And being able to accomplish more within the same time frame. We touched upon sales operation, IT, backend part of the process, and also finance. But there is also one department that I want to highlight, and this is human resource department. Specifically, recruiting process. And if you are recruiting, for instance, salespeople, and you have a very specific process established, you have numbers, you have metrics, KPIs. This all will help your prospective sales to be confident in their future and visualize their path to success, pretty much simplifying the recruitment negotiation process. Because otherwise, sales, when they sign the contract with the bonus part, they don't really know whether they will be able to achieve the numbers or not, especially if they are new to the industry. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, we're using the sales automation tools here at Bazware in a way that we're able to kind of put our commission model into these tools as well, which then drives sales behavior into how they sell effectively. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and by the way, like giving new people the confidence to work for you is a little bit different than somebody actually come to work for you and perform, right? And this is the second pillar of the HR department is onboarding. And with the sales onboarding, I can tell it from my experience, it's not just here you have a phone, list of contacts, pen and paper, and good luck. Especially in high tech.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when new people start, it's important that these tools are intuitive enough and guide them, especially in those early times to enable them to have the information that they need at hand to effectively.
Yeah,
be able
maybe
to
adapt to their personality, because everyone works in their manner. Mm. But yeah, sales are your front end, and you want to educate your front end because those are your advocates and they represent the company. They should know the product. They should know the pricing. They should know the history and way of working. And you want to educate them. And there is no way you just can cut the piece of education, but you can optimize it. You can simplify it with a sales automation tool and have all the predefined, for instance, the LinkedIn messages, emails, scripts, knowledge base, already ready for the sales employees.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
So
yeah.
Now let's maybe make this discussion a little bit more tangible, and maybe we can build on top of the general benefits of sales automation tool with experience of Bazware, with your experience, and you can share what kind of solutions do you use and which benefits these solutions provide to various departments within Bazware.
Yeah, I mean, at Bazware, we're using Microsoft Dynamics CRM. We're using the SAP CPQ and SAP CLM as well. These are what I would call the kind of core sales tools that we're using here at Bazware. We're also using some kind of complementary tools as well, like Showpad and LinkedIn Sales Navigator. But if I first start on with the core sales tools like CRM, obviously, having the CRM system in place enables our sales teams to have a central kind of repository for recording all of the different information and interactions with our prospects and customers, understanding their business problems, their needs, what they need to do. And also guides our sales teams in engaging with our customers at the right times as well, so that our customers are not ignored. If I move maybe then on to kind of the CPQ tool, and obviously that allows us to produce quotes quickly, effectively. We're able to get back to customers, you know, almost immediately with regards to their needs there on kind of the products and offering and pricing and that kind of thing. And of course, the CPQ tool also allows us some kind of compliance and control around what is being offered, what isn't being offered, what kind of pricing levels we're setting and that kind of thing as well. And then if I think about the contract lifecycle management, the CLM tool that we're using, you know, that allows us to kind of then really streamline the contract process so that, you know, when we're getting into these negotiations with customers, we have a system that's storing the contract. We're able to negotiate and discuss that internally. There's that visibility within the entire organization of exactly where we're at. So these things are very important as part of our core sales tools. But as I said, we're using these kind of complementary sales tools as well. So Showpad being one example. So Showpad allows us to kind of store sales assets that are on brand. We're able to share those assets with our customers. And then also we're able to get insights into how our customers are interacting with that material as well. So, these things can be very useful for us as well to improve, help us improve that documentation going forward. And of course, yeah, we're using the LinkedIn Sales Navigator as well to kind of find the leads and to help us focus on the right accounts.
Talking about all these tools, have you implemented them at once or it was a continuous process? Maybe you can talk more about the time.
No, we've had the CRM tool for a long time. We had a quote to order project a few years ago where we implemented the CPQ and CLM tools. And the kind of Showpad we've had for a number of years as well. But they've never been implemented as one. It's been a kind of constant evolution. Within sales ops, you know, we constantly have to kind of monitor how our sales teams and our supporting functions are doing, and then, you know, adjust our processes and you know, take into consideration what needs we need from a tool
perspective.
And
it looks like you are not ready to stop. So this is the continuous process and you will evolve further, right?
It is, yeah. I mean, even after the quote to order project where we implemented the CPQ and CLM tools, you know, it went live a couple of years ago. But yeah, as you say, it doesn't stop there. Processes are constantly evolving and developing according to the needs of our customers, the markets, all of that kind of thing. So it's always an ongoing process.
How your finance department and IT department react to these changes, how it benefit them, whether they support that?
Obviously, yeah, we have to kind of justify the usage of these tools and the money that we invest in these. But we have a close relationship with our finance and our digital office teams. We're able to kind of present business cases for, you know, why we need these things. And often they have requirements as well, which, you know, these tools enable as well. So
it's not like they're financing your wishes. They're also solving their wishes.
Exactly, yeah. So you know, the sales operations team is a very kind of central role. It's not just about supporting our sales teams. It's we're working with many of the other different functions within Basware. So, you know, like I say, finance, products, billing teams. So it's a team that's very much in the middle here.
It's good that you are mentioned those sales tools, but you also mentioned the process. And I know that Basware initially was selling its procurement platform as an on-premise installation, right? But you are right now a software as a service SaaS company. And this means that you had not only had several automation tools and projects, but you also implemented a new process and you changed your business model, you changed the vector of development of your company. Maybe you can share your insight here. How did you manage to do that?
Yeah, I mean, Basware's been a company that's been around since the 80s. And, you know, as I said, As you mentioned, it's been a kind of on-premise business for most of that time. And I think it was around about 6-7 years ago we were kind of moving into this cloud business and this SaaS model. So yeah, it's been a kind of transformation where, you know, we really have to look at, you know, we're kind of a service offering company now, so we really have to kind of focus on our customers' needs, be more engaged with our customers, what they need. So yeah, it's been quite a journey.
Most probably not all the customers are happy with the move, but
yeah, obviously you have to kind of address their concerns. But that, you know, you also have to explain why it's beneficial for them to kind of move into this environment as well. So yeah, it's been a long process. Like I said, we started this SaaS transformation a number of years ago, and we're mostly there now as a SaaS company. We still do have a few customers with kind of these on-premise solutions, but they're very much in the minority.
It shows that this digital transformation and all the automation process has actually a snowball effect, that if you are changing something, your customers or your partners should also change. Most probably also your distributors are right now using your sales automation tools, right?
Yeah, we have our reseller partners who are also using our quoting tool as well. So they're producing quotes for their customers, and they can then hand over those quotes to us. And so, yeah, we do have our reseller partners using our quoting tool. And that was something that wasn't possible until a couple of years ago when we implemented this quote to order project. So that's really helped us. So that it's not always on the kind of the Bazware teams to produce the quotes. We're enabling a little bit more towards this kind of self-service. And we still have some ideas about how we want to evolve that later on. But yeah, there's plenty to come here.
That's actually funny that even despite all the reasons that you've mentioned, all the benefits, all the positive consequences you see from a sales team, companies still fear digital transformation. In fact, there are like 50% of all the mature enterprises haven't even started any digital transformation project. Although the situation is much better in the startup space, where 75% of the companies are already using sales automation tools. But it's pretty much shows that it's not about the money, because relatively, sales automation project should be cheaper for a mature company rather than a startup, because you have a larger revenue, right? But it's more about the adaptation to change, about challenging the status quo. And people fear, and they have the reasons for that. In my opinion, one of the main reasons comes from the history. So biological reason that we are resistant to change, because humankind evolved in very unpredicted, hostile environment. And it was beneficial for all of us to be stressful about unknown situation, to stay alert all the time, run or fight. And even though right now we live in a safer environment, although there are pandemic and the war situation, but our brains still are resistant to change. That's why all the new we perceive as stressful and threatening, although there is nothing to be scared of. There are also financial reasons why you might be scared of the digital transformation, simply because the net present value of the project in a couple of years will not be positive. And there are also employee challenges that they are generally afraid of the biological reasons, but there are also rational reasons that they fear to be replaced. They fear the extra workload which would come with the new project, at least in the short term. And they might be not there to grasp all the benefits in the long term. So what are your suggestions how to overcome this fear? When to invest into the project? How to choose the correct tool?
Yeah, I'd say when to invest. Obviously, it's a time where it's going to be obviously when the business case is positive. When it starts to obviously be a detrimental to your business, like you say, we might be losing employees because they don't have the tools to effectively do their job. because they then have the tools to effectively do their job, they can't serve our customers well. Our customers are then unhappy, and you know, then they can think about moving elsewhere. Also, there's a lot of, you know, another time to consider when to invest is if you have a lot of operational inefficiencies. So if there's a lot of manual work, a lot of manual processes that you have, a lot of time spent on these kind of things, which offer, you know, offer their risks on their self when you kind of have these kind of manual things going on all the time, mistakes and things like that can easily happen. So, you know, the time when to invest is really to think about, you know, when it's really being kind of quite detrimental to your business to carry on in that kind of status quo situation.
Don't you think that you should invest earlier? That, as they say, the time to repair the roof is when the sun is shining. So you should be cautious and be prepared for the tough times.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, I mean that's obviously the latest time you want to be starting to think about investing. Obviously, identifying those problems early and discussing that internally to how to resolve those problems is very important. Yeah. But I mean, when I think to the kind of Basware situation with regards to the tools that we were using, so I mentioned, you know, when it's detrimental to, you know, your business, you might risk losing employees, losing customers, operational inefficiencies. We were in a situation a few years ago where, from a quote to order perspective, we were using an in-house built tool for our quoting process. That tool had been in use for a number of years. I joined the sales operations teams 2 or 3 years after this tool was being used. It had built up a lot of kind of this so-called technical debt over the years, and it became very difficult to develop and maintain. And as a result, you know, we experienced a lot of downtime with it, a lot of errors. This slowed up the kind of quoting process. The users, the salespeople were frustrated. They weren't able to get their quotes out on time. So obviously that was the kind of the trigger point for us, especially. And also at that time, we didn't have any kind of contract lifecycle management tool for managing our sales contracts. So the tool that we were using for quoting before would basically produce a PDF document. And then if that needed to be changed in some way, you needed to try and somehow kind of manually edit these PDFs, and there would be kind of emails going around internally to approve such changes. So it was a very, very inefficient process. And that's what kind of really triggered things for us to kind of invest in a project where we could automate some of these things and work on those inefficiencies. So we triggered this quote to order project where we were starting to look at the different options out there.
How much did it take?
We invested.
How much the RFI process took place?
Yeah, from the time when the project officially got approved to begin, I would say it was around about a year and a half between that time and us actually getting to signing a contract to start the project. We did a lot of research on the kind of different vendors in that space that would be able to help us. We obviously go through the kind of RFP process. We whittle down the potential vendors to a select few. We have demos with them, customer reference calls. And, you know, we decided on the vendor that we wanted to proceed with. But then, you know, that getting the over the final line, getting that kind of final budget approval for it took some time as well. So it was around about a year and a half before we kind of initiated the project, until we got to that stage where we had a kind of contract signed and we're about to start the project.
Cool. One thing is choosing a tool. Another thing is actually starting the project, and you need at least like one year in your case. And of course, those two are interconnected. But anyways, those are two parts. And given your experience, what would be your suggestions and thoughts on how to run a sales automation project correctly? So when the tool is already there, how to start the project, how to set up all the change management process, how to enable adaptation of your sales force, of your other departments.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to the topic of the project, I would kind of put that into kind of three different things. Things you need to think about before the project, the implementation project officially starts, what to consider during the project and what to consider after the project. So, I mean, before the project, you need to, obviously, you're probably pretty clear on your pain points, but you need to also ensure that before the project starting, do you have all of the relevant stakeholders involved in that project? Who are going to be affected by that project? Who can make decisions on the kind of requirements for that project as well? So getting that kind of core project team together is very important. Depending on the project time, you know, when you come to an implementation project, different companies are going to have different needs and different urgencies in getting that project implemented as well. So really think about your, if you have a very short project period, you might want to think about very carefully about the core issues and getting those solved first. And then, you know, when you're moving into the project, so we started working with Clarity Labs, I think it was in summer of 2019 when the project started. And my learnings from there is that, you know, it's very important when you're working with an implementation partner for that very first time is to try and establish early on the ways of working, figuring out how you're going to gather requirements, how you're going to do the development, how you're going to, you know, release things and that kind of thing. And that can often take, a month or two. And it takes a bit of time to build that trust on both sides. So it's very, one thing I learned especially is that I really had to kind of trust and guide what I needed from Clarity Labs, for example, is that their expertise on the solution, they had implemented this solution many times before. So when I'm coming to them with these kind of requirements, I have to listen to them and their advice on, you know, maybe we shouldn't do this yet. Maybe we should keep it fairly simple at the beginning and work on more complex things later on. And from Clarity Lab side, I guess it took a little bit of time in the project as well to for you to learn our business, our ways of working as well. So that early part of the project can be a little bit tricky, but we quickly started working into a very established way of working, and where we really started pushing the kind of efficiency of the implementation. We got to know each other quite well. And then things really started accelerating quite quickly after that.
Give some time for the cooperation to build, the trust to build.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And start small. So in the industry, we say land.
Yeah, expand. Start small, start simple. It's very easy in the project to, you know, get quite excited about all of the different possibilities. But you have to remember that there's a timeline, there's a certain amount of scope that can be done within the initial project. Obviously, there's the possibility after, you know, when you go live, that you can, when you do go live, you know, it's the process and the development doesn't stop there. You know, things will continue to evolve. It might be that when you've gone live with the very, very basic needs at that point, but you know, you need to continue evolving the solution.
Some might think that in a sense you are getting hooked on the solution and on all the additional project that you should run. But in my opinion, it's actually a smart, rational way to move forward. You don't just blindly leap into unknown. You should test the water and take the first step, see how it works, adapt, change your business requirements if needed, do the change management, and then proceed. And also give the time.
Yeah, and maybe going back to even before the project as well. Think about this was one piece of advice I got from someone in a reference call that they had when they were doing the implementation of a quote to order project. One thing they really didn't take too much time in considering is how your internal processes need to change. I mean, you're changing the tools, of course, But you know, when you're changing the tools, you're also changing your internal processes. So you really need to think carefully about how those processes need to change, who they affect, and it, you know, that they're the types of things that you should be considering before the projects even start.
Sounds like a big project for Busfer, wasn't it? Yeah, but it shouldn't be easy. In the end, this project would also allow you to reap the benefits of the digital transformation, of the automation in the company for years and maybe even decades. And it's definitely worth it.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, also within the project, I mean, the other advice I would maybe give to people is that, you know, keep your users informed about what's going on whilst the project's happening. You know, when can they, not just when are we going live, but, you know, where are we with the process? What's expected from them? How you manage perhaps any transitional periods between using an old solution and a new solution? So these are all things that need to be carefully considered at that time.
And
well,
this is how you can embrace the sales automation and start using it on an everyday basis.
Yeah, keeping the users informed is, like I say, is very important. You see, like you mentioned earlier on, you know, people can be resistant to change. If you don't keep them informed and then suddenly there's a big change, there's going to be a lot of resistance. So you kind of need to manage that process, manage their expectations, and really keep them informed about how they're going to be affected by this change to ease their concerns.
Yeah, cool. Give them time to digest.
Yeah, digest and evolve, yeah, and get used to it.
Well, Steve, that was a good one. Thanks a lot for sharing your experience towards the sales automation tool, towards your Busfer experience, to running the project overall. And also thank you, audience, for listening. In case you have any interest in process automation tool, both me and Steve would be happy to have a chat. So innovate, work smart, and see you in the next episode. Thanks, Steve. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Alex.